this episode of the show, I chat with Tyler Severance. Tyler is the owner of Recess, a world champion, and he's a staple in the yo-yo world. We talk about how Tyler got into yo-yoing, his progression through competitive yo-yoing, starting the company Recess, pop culture, and a lot more. Be sure to check out Recess for yo-yos and yo-yo-related gear. Now on to the interview. I always start at the beginning, like how you got into yo-yoing, just because I think those are always kind of cool stories to hear. So
I got into yo-yoing like 1996, 1997, one of those 2 years, like right at the onset of the boom. It wasn't like peak boom or like anything crazy. I was really, really young. I was like 6 or 7 years old. And I was just a super pretentious kid. I thought I could do anything. Or not, I don't want to say pretentious. I just was very, like, eager to try things. So I looked at yo-yos, and I thought that I was pretty good at manipulating things. When I first started in the school band in fourth grade, I was like, I want to play the trombone because, like, I feel like I could manipulate the slide and, like, make the correct notes and stuff, but my arms weren't long enough, so I had to play the... Yeah, but... So I thought like that about yo-yos. I just looked at it and I kind of understood the mechanics of it before even playing with one. I was like, oh, I could do that really well. And then my mom bought me one for Christmas after I begged for one. And I don't even remember how long. I just remember getting it and it was like a knockoff brain. Like when, so she must have gotten it from like, I don't know. Probably. And I don't think yo-yos were at the dollar store quite then, or I don't know what the dollar store mechanics were in the mid-90s, mid to late 90s, but it wasn't like a $25. When I eventually got like a Raider some months later and it was like 30 or 35 bucks, that was like a huge deal. Yeah. But,
well, because that was the time frame when like fireballs were a big deal, and if somebody had one, they were like the shit.
Yeah, that's an interesting dichotomy. I mean, it's the same thing yo-yoing now, where it's, I don't know, this weird, like, metaphorical, like, chain-swinging contest where it's like, I have the Drop-Nar collection, I have all these titanium yo-yos, and then you watch this person play in the garbage, and you're like, yeah. I say that, I'm a horrible hater. I'm going to revert back a lot in this interview and say that I'm a hater, but, like, I love anyone who supports yo-yoing in any level, regardless of whether or not you're a collector. When I went to Japan in 2010 for the Hyper Yo-Yo campaign, there were people at 44 Clash that were just like yo-yo fans. They were there with like a Yo-Yo Factory t-shirt on, like it was like a sports team, and they were like, oh, we love Yo-Yo Factory. And I was like, you can't even yo-yo? They're like, oh no, we just like we watch the Hyper Yo-Yo campaign and like see the episodes on TV. Like we like the Yo-Yo Factory character. And we're like, this is crazy, yeah. You know? In America, especially at that time, yo-yoing was like a little more accepted and getting more open-minded, but it wasn't until like social media really pervaded culture that like you could, like people were like, I think people, once they see all these crazy videos, they just assume that any little thing you can manipulate or do weird stuff with, there's some sort of community with. Because people will say now that I didn't know that the yo-yo world existed, but they'll never say, like, that's so surprising. You're like, I can't believe that this many people do this or are this dedicated to this. It's like most people with any sort of modern knowledge of how the world works are like, oh, it's a bunch of, like, nerdy, affluent white guys, like, a bunch of engineers with white-collar jobs. Like, of course they're going to make this thing into something crazy, you know? Yeah. So, yeah, I got into it that way, 1996, 1997, Christmas. I got a knockoff brain, and I played with that for like till my birthday the next year, and I got some other yo-yos here and there, like because the boom was starting to wave. And my grandma worked at Walmart, so we would like go visit her on her like her lunch break, and they had like yo-yos all the time. Like they had a whole Omega end cap built out at Walmart so that you could get like probably 8 or 9 different Omega yo-yos at the time. So this is probably like, so I might have got it like Christmas 97, and this was like 98, because that would have been more like when the boom was rolling out, like 98. And there was tons of yo-yos. You could get like Power Warp, I think it was called. There's like a Power Warp Wing and then an Imperial one and like a Fixed Axle, the Omega All-Star. There was a ton of yo-yos.
Omega was the thing there. Like I had a Saber Raider back, man, and I used that thing till it was unresponsive. and kind of figured out a bind because I didn't realize you could fix them with lube. So.
It's funny, there's a yo-yo player staying in my house right now, and I have a couple of Renegades downstairs, and they're in like varying stages of decay, and one of them's like brand new out of the package. And shout out Daniel Dietz, he posted these Renegades on the BST a couple years ago, and he wanted like 30 or $35 a piece, and I was like, I'll give you $20 a piece. And he's like, ah, oh, man, I really want 30. And I was like, well, you know what? Hit me up in a week when no one gives you $30 for them, and I'll give you 40 for both of them. And 20 minutes later, he just messaged me back and said, "I'll take 20 for each of them." So shout out Dan Dietz. But he was playing with the one that like the Starbursts are all the way worn down, and he's like, "So what do you do now? Like when they're worn down, like can you put thick lube in it?" And I'm like, "Yeah, but there's no shields on the bearing; it just flies everywhere. Like it doesn't really." And the bearing's really small, so there's nowhere for the lube to go and actually stick on parts of the bearing. And I'm like, that's kind of how binds were created, because you wore out the response system and you can't, it's not like you re-silicone your yo-yo or buy a new
Yeah.
pack.
No, and even at that point, you're 10 years old, completely oblivious. You don't have the internet to go to on a regular basis without several hours to spend. So, yeah, I wouldn't have figured it out anyways.
There's like a beauty and a magic, though. I don't know how long you've been yo-yoing for, Drew,
About
but to
the
like,
same as you, on and off, though.
yeah, but to modifying yo-yos, I'm sure you're aware of like buying a yo-yo in 2008 is much different than buying a yo-yo now.
Oh,
Like the
yeah.
888 then was pretty much on par with how yo-yos are now, but that was like, and
Was
like
it?
that was amazing to come out at the time. You know what I mean? It's like buying a Ferrari if you were into yo-yoing or
Well, and it
something.
was, yeah, the cost was just the equivalency, too. For
Yeah.
somebody that was younger, at least.
Oh yeah. I was like right around the age to kind of understand the economics and be like, $120 is a lot of money for a yo-yo. I never bought one. Actually, like the only time I ever splurged on yo-yos is when I like won big contests, or like I remember one time at NER there was like, I think it was like a $400, $500 cash prize. And I also like worked at the toy store we had yo-yo club at. So I was like, damn, I have so much money right now. And I went and bought a small bearing 888, and it was $120. Or with my discount at the store, it must have been like $80 or something. So cheap. And then I was like, what am I doing? Like, why do I even have that? I traded it like a week later for like a bunch of other shit that I wouldn't have even wanted. But I don't know. Growing up, like not having a lot of money, there's like a weird, like, I remember when I first got a freehand MG, I didn't even want to play with it because I was like, I don't want to mess this up, or like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, it's a cool thing, but it's also like, it's so much money for a yo-yo, and it just seems so inordinate and abstract and weird. But yeah, so that's how I got started yo-yoing. And then, yeah, like you, I got a Saber Raider for Christmas, I think, probably the following year, Christmas 99. And like, I was super into it, but I mean, the internet was still so early that there wasn't a big community. There was like a yo-yo club near me that I somehow found, to be honest. I don't even, oh, it was at the store that I bought the Raider at, and
Okay.
they had a club like once a month, and I went, and like, you know, I don't remember who the hell was there or anything. I didn't really meet anyone, but like a bunch of like old white dudes were impressed that I was like some 6 or 7 year old kid and could like proficiently yo-yo, and just how anyone is now with
Yeah.
like a 7 year old kid who's pretty decent at yo-yo. So, but it was even, I remember, just because we didn't have the internet, like this is 98, 99, it existed, but like we definitely did not have the internet in my
No.
house. And like I would get every book from the library to try to learn yo-yo tricks. Like going to that yo-yo club, I tried to learn as many tricks as possible from people. That was just like what you did. You didn't even care. Like, wow, there's like 50 yo-yo players here now. It's like, someone teach me trick. Like, I need to learn
Yeah.
more. Like, I'm literally doing Rock the Baby every time over again.
Yep, trying to see how many times you could do Brain Twister eventually and
Yeah, and I got like more yo-yos and stuff. I had like a Cold Fusion I got for Christmas and a Silver Bullet, and like I kept yo-yoing until like 2001, 2002, and then started skateboarding super heavy with my friends. So I was like 12, 11 at the time. So I was like, I don't know. I yo-yoed for what seemed like forever then, you know, 2 or 3 years. But it's like when you're a kid and you can kind of casually do things, it's, I don't know. So.
Yeah. So then, how'd you eventually make that progression into the yo-yo competitions?
I don't know, because I'm not, I'm a weird, I'm a weirdly competitive person, even though like I'm not very athletic or like it's not like I go to the gym or like in you know how people get on a treadmill and they look at the person next to them like they're trying to race them or something. Like I don't ever feel that way, or I don't have like the weird inferiority complex. Ben, a factory always used to say that I had tall poppy syndrome, which was like when short people, I'm like 5'7", 5'8" on a good day. I could be a great rapper right now. But he used to say I had tall poppy complex, so like there was some sort of like way that it connected to the poppy flower. Like the tallest one often didn't have like the strongest fruit inside or whatever, but like it was a way to say that like short people overcompensate by like trying to do bigger and better things. He's always said that I had that type of shit going on. It's funny. So I don't really know because I'm not like a competitive person, and like when I first got into yo-yoing, I wanted to like learn tricks, and I liked hanging out with people. That's a difficult question. No one's ever really asked me that before. I guess I am competitive now that I really think about it, but I'm just like conservatively competitive. Like, I don't know.
There's like that internal drive.
Right, yeah, yo-yoing is a very individualistic thing. So I guess that's more so where I see it. Like when I learned how to play the trumpet in school, like I immediately was like the best trumpet player, and I was like helping the music teacher curate like what songs we were gonna play. And like going into high school, I was like first chair, and then in 10th grade, I was like, this is whack. Like no one here is creative. Like no one here. You guys all want to be professional musicians, and like literally none of you like music really, or like. None of you are into like a culture of music. You're into this weird band culture, which like band is great and it's serves like a certain type of person, but it was just like I don't know, it became more of a team sport then, and that was like something I was so staunchly against. And like yo-yoing is great for that reason, because you can do it in a group, but it's so individually driven as far as like how people progress or what you progress. And I love talking about schools and camps and everyone with that reason. When I talk about yo-yo workshops, is because often, you know, kids fall behind when they're not able to athletically or mentally keep up with other kids, and students progress, and the student to teacher ratio is like 25 or 30 to 1 a lot of times. So it's difficult for students to really keep up with that. So I love yo-yos for that reason, where everyone can kind of individually progress their own way. But, you know, that's probably why I was so driven to the competition scene, was because of that. In like you said, it's an internal competition, and like I was driven. Like I knew the harder I worked, the better I could do, and it wasn't going to be dependent upon like my dad or my mom driving me anywhere or me. Like it was something that was strictly up to me. And that when you're a kid, like that gratification feels good. It feels good as an adult too, but like. Don't have any control when you're a kid, you know what I mean? Your parents make the majority of the decisions for you. So for you to be like, I did all this, is like, you know, really gratifying. So that was probably the main reason why I started competing. And then also just on the East Coast, like everything is so condensed. Like it's a 4-hour drive up to Massachusetts. So like in between Massachusetts and here, at the time it was like Pennsylvania states, Massachusetts states, Mid-Atlantic regionals, Northeast regionals. That seemed like a lot. Now we have a crazy amount of contests a year, but
They used to be so hard to find, even
right.
like there just wasn't much.
Yeah, and like so that was another reason, was just the sheer amount of contests that I could attend. And I don't know, I guess because neither my parents ever really pushed me to do it. They didn't really care. I don't know. Like my mom and dad were excited when I won Worlds, but they also just didn't really. Like, I don't know. It's not like it's a life-changing thing. It's not like I came home with like 25 G's and I was like, oh. It was just like, as a kid, I was like, I'm the best in the world at something. Like, you're not even the best in this room at anything. I wouldn't say that, but that's how I felt, you know?
Oh,
And
yeah.
so it's just like, and then every world champion will tell you after you win, and then you come back down to earth from this crazy high of like, you've accomplished something that you. It's this crazy goal, and not that you didn't think it was accomplishable, but like, you know, you just never. It's like a BC and an AD, you know
Yeah,
what I
I
mean?
mean it's one of those goals like, and the yo-yo community is not gigantic.
there's not that many people competing in compared to a sport like track and field, but it's like, no matter who you are, you're still shooting for the fences. And it's like, even if you have your best day and you are the best yo-yoer in the world, you probably have a 1 in 5 chance. So, so it's still shooting for the fences. And anytime you hit a goal where you're reaching for the fences like that, man, it's a good feeling.
It is. Yeah. It was amazing. It gives me goosebumps thinking about it now, just because it was something I worked really hard towards. And this is something that you probably never heard of, but like, there is a weird beef with me and Duncan Yo-Yos at the time, who like I played with their yo-yos, and they had zero competitive players on the team at the time. Literally no one who was on the Duncan crew was competing in contests, or if they were, they weren't doing very well. Like Hank Freeman, literally a year or two later, was winning the world yo-yo contest. Like, he started to make a comeback, but at the time no one was competing with Duncan Yo-Yos. I was the only one. There might have been one or two other, actually, you know, John Robb, my best friend, was competing with Duncan Yo-Yos, but I was doing really well. And like, it's kind of, now that would be like a shoo-in, you know what I mean? Now, if there's an Instagram who plays with the company's yo-yos and is just okay, and then they do well at a contest, you're pretty much not guaranteed to get on the team, but it's like, you're definitely gonna get hooked up with some yo-yos, and they're gonna be like more inclined to keep their eye on you, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's a lot easier now than it was back then, but
well, that whole, like, this, like, the sponsor culture is like a thing now, and that wasn't a thing even like 10 years ago, you know? So
yeah,
10 or 15. I mean, so
yeah, well, I'm sure we have different, not honestly different thoughts, but like varying degrees of thoughts on that. But yeah, at the time, just Duncan and I were not really, it wasn't Duncan, it was their team manager, this guy, Jack Rinka. He just thought I was like young and arrogant, which I was, but it was like, kind of what you need for, I don't know, you know what I mean? It's the same reason why Gentry gets a lot of flack in our community now. Like, a lot of people love him, but also he's like a polarizing figure to a lot of people who love yo-yoing, so it was kind of the same thing, you know what I mean? It was changing of the guard, and people saw it as different, I don't know. So yeah, it was an interesting time, but then even after I won the World Yo-Yo Contest and won Nationals, they still didn't put me on the team, and their national sales manager was just kind of like throwing his hands up, and he would like give me literally thousands of dollars of free product every contest, like cases of free hands, whatever I wanted. And I would just be like, I'm sorry, like, Jack isn't putting you on the team. And he'd make me feel better. He's like, it's not like we pay for anyone's flights or anything. It's not, which is different now. Like, they take great care of their players. But like, at the time, it was like very hands off, and they just got like literally a huge box of yo-yos every financial quarter. So 4 times a year, you'd get 2 of every yo-yo on the line, 1,000 cotton strings, and a 48 pack of Duncan friction, which is still basically worthless even 12 years ago. their national sales manager was just like so apologetic, and he felt so bad for me. And even to this day, when I go to conference, he'll give me like whatever I want. He'll just be like, oh, you really like that new aluminum butterfly? Like, here, take one. And I'm like, oh, thanks, man. Like, I really appreciate it. Oh, man. So, yeah, good times. So that was basically probably why I got into contests. So, like, there was a lot of contests. I was just a conflicted, struggling kid trying to find his place in the world. So, like, yo-yoing definitely gave me, I would say that's probably overall the most contributing factor. Is like, so, like, my parents, they're, like, great people, but they're very salt-of-the-earth people. And if listeners don't know what that means, it's, like, a type of blue-collar, like, if just with digital native kids, and especially with a broadband internet connection, and people that didn't have that aren't necessarily equipped to handle raising kids with that, unless you're also trying to keep up with them, which my parents weren't. Like, my dad is a police officer in Wilmington, Delaware, which is like, I don't know, like, everyone hates cops, and like, I'm neither here nor there with them, but like, I don't know, my dad's not a bad guy, but like, it's funny because everyone on the police force either like loves him or dislikes him. Like, it depends on who I meet, but they'll either be like, Dad saved my life one night, like, we were in the thick of it and blah blah blah, and he threw this guy on the curb and like, oof, he could have pulled a fast one on me. And then other people will be like, I literally hate him. Oh, shit, sorry, man. So we just weren't equipped to like really, I don't want to say like they did a fine job raising me, but like, I remember being like 6 or 7 years old, like right around when I was getting really into yo-yoing. And just like everyone's asking what you want to be when you grow up at that age. And I had no idea and still didn't have any, I still don't have any idea, but didn't know at the time. And so I'm like, question, I'm asking my mom and dad about like different kinds of art or like who makes art and how different kinds of art are made. And I'm asking them about commercial art, like packaging, and just looking at like how like every packaging is perfect. So it's obviously printed. And I'm like, so someone must like, there's an artist who does this and lays it out, but like, how does this work? And I would ask my parents, like, how does this work? And they're like, I don't know, like someone just draws it. And I'm like, but it's not like someone sits there and draws this on every single package or every single Ben and Jerry's pint. Like, how does this work? Like, and they just could not answer. So it was like, I just felt constantly let down, for lack of a better term. I was searching for like answers that weren't, or questions that weren't able to be answered. And so like once I got into yo-yoing, like, and I not only just got competitively good, but like you meet so many amazing people that like that really drew me into it. And like those are people that when I had questions like that would instantly know the answer, or like they had a friend who did this, or they were even maybe a graphic artist and they were like, oh, like check this out, and here's a pirated version of Photoshop. Like, learn how to do it yourself. Like, I'll teach you how to do it. So like it just, there's like a whole wealth and world of knowledge that was like seemingly unattainable before I got to yo-yoing. And then, the people who are passing that knowledge down were so cool. So it was the competitive portion coupled with, all the people you meet and the resources you get out of it. And, every day I will answer DMs on the Recess account, and then I'll get to talking with people about something random. And I'm just like, wow, this is so crazy. Like, I would never met this person unless I was in yo-yoing. That's so crazy. So,
Yeah, it's definitely a really cool side of the community. There's just so many different people and so many different perspectives that have, I mean, a lot of hobbies outside of yo-yoing and a lot of different knowledge outside of yo-yoing. I don't know of anything else like it in the world.
no, it's really unique. I mean, people who, there's a lot of skateboarders that yo-yo who see a lot of parallels, but just any sort of creative and artistic driven hobby or interest that people have, there's going to be a lot of parallels just because people are really passionate about it. So,
Yeah, I mean that makes sense. I have more of a background in athletics, so like especially individual sports, swimming where your face is in a water for 4 hours a day not talking to people.
yeah.
So cool. So let's chat about how you started Recess and how that kind of evolved to the point to where it is today.
Yeah, sure. So I never really thought about, like, when I worked for Yo-Yo Factory, I was learning a ton about how yo-yos were made, how businesses were ran, how creative people work, just do's, don'ts. It was a great experience. Like, there's a lot of amazing things. Like, that could be literally a whole nother hour interview in itself. But I never really worked there thinking like I wanted to start my own company, or even that I did little bits and pieces of designing with Yo-Yo Factory. And there's a lot of people with their hands in different pots at Yo-Yo Factory doing like different pieces of design and like different pieces of art direction. And like Ben might have an idea that Hans fleshes out, and then Ben has the perfect idea for like this one little piece, or like Hans like has an amazing idea for the packaging, or vice versa. So there's like so, and when I worked there, when Seth worked there, when Pat worked there, like it was a constant wheel of ideas between everyone. And like I was running production, so I was like working with the machine shop to like get parts made, and then going taking them to the anodizer, and deciding with Ben and sitting down every few days and being like, all right, we're making 500 shutters. Like, what color are we gonna make? Or 500 G-Funks. Sorry, shutters have always been made in China. G-Funks. Like, what color are we gonna make them? Like, oh, we made this green one. Like, let's do this one. Or what's in stock here? So you just, you learn a lot about different ins and outs. And like when I first started working at Yo-Yo Factory, Ben kind of told me like, By the end of me working there, there's no set time how long I was going to work there for, but it was just, I was going to learn a lot, but also by the end, I was going to know everything, up and down about, how to make yo-yos, how to do, yo-yo promotions, how to do, the gambit of running a yo-yo company, which is, a really niche thing.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like any company that you run, man, you figure out so much. My wife's a physical therapist, and she just started her – she moved into a new clinic in August, and it's her clinic. And, man, the little things you don't think about until you're actually in the thick of it, it's ridiculous. Right.
Even just, ordering supplies, we were talking about before we started recording. You don't really think about kind of – it's
Do you know how hard it is to get latex gloves right now?
Right. Or any sort of, medical equipment right now. Yeah, it's crazy, but – just the sheer amount of tape and boxes at Yo-Yo Factory. I remember seeing those POs and hearing Hans on the phone, order 10,000 rolls, whatever. And then looking at the PO and being Jesus Christ, we just spent this much money on tape. It's, 4 or 5 months worth of tape, but it's something we gotta have, or, it's probably 6 months worth of tape, but it's something we gotta have. And it's, I don't know. So
It's just something you need for the business to function that you don't realize you need for the business to function.
Right. It's truly insane. So I learned a lot, and by the end, after I kind of phased out of doing production stuff, I started working more in the promotional and marketing side. And then by the end of that, the last year I was working at Yo-Yo Factory was kind of almost out of office, because I was doing a lot of school shows and stuff. But then also I could basically work from home. Mm-hmm. So and I was starting to, I was still receiving a salary from Yo-Yo Factory, but then I was working a lot more doing my own stuff, doing all these school shows and basically, so I was getting, having my cake and eating it too in a lot of ways, but I was still being a Yo-Yo Factory representative and showing up at the office and doing production stuff when they needed it. And but there is a lot of other hands on deck. So, we were just growing apart as employee-employer, amicably. It wasn't, a harsh split on either direction. But, it was just, the writing was on the wall, a year in advance. And it was, by the time we finally had this conversation, it was kind of we both knew this was coming. And it was still cordial. And, I still will occasionally buy yo-yos from them to sell at school shows or whatever, I still text Ben all the time. But, by the end of it, I didn't really think, I was at a weird crossroads because I was 25. It was, right after my mom died, which was 11 months. So basically a year after my little brother died, and my parents were divorced. So my whole nuclear family was dead. It's just a weird place to be in life. You know what I mean? And no matter how much therapy I tried to do before, my mom passed, after my brother who committed suicide, unfortunately, which, a lot of the yo-yo community knows. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, a lot of people in the yo-yo community are now more, aware and actively pursuing of trying to put a positive light on everyone's mental health and trying to be there for each other, which is great. I love, but it was a weird thing to go through, and it puts you in a weird space because it was almost losing two families in a way, mm-hmm. where my nuclear family was gone and my grandparents are still alive and I'm kind of close with my dad, but obviously my mom raised me for 18 years, so it's not as close as I would have been with my mom. And it was just a very interesting place to be. And I was in deep thought for a long time. After my mom died, January 2015, I was just kind of hanging out for a couple weeks, hanging out with friends, not really sure what I was going to do. And I had started taking notes the previous year. I'd always wanted to do a clothing line or something, but something secret society related. This was when Black Scale was really popular. Okay. This fashion brand that A$AP Rocky made really popular. It was very gothic, Gecko Roman, cool. Like they would just take like half tone scans of like a Roman art book and then throw like Times New Roman over top of it that said like Black Scale Collective or something. It just looked cool. But I was like, I wasn't so much inspired by that, just not like the actual design as I was like the movement of like how those streetwear brands are moving at the time. Like, because streetwear is basically dead, like what like Off-White and all these like huge brands are now. Like in 2015, like no one was really like Supreme was kind of popular, but it wasn't like what it is now, where it's just you can't get anything, you know what I mean? Like as insane as it is now, where like the hype culture is at this all-time high. So I was really inspired by how these smaller brands were moving, and because it reminded me a lot of yo-yoing, because it was a high turnover rate for designs. It wasn't like how these big design houses like Louis Vuitton or Gucci, where they're doing like right now, they're putting out like if it was they just did Fashion Week for like spring summer 2021 or fall winter 2020, but they're already designing for like a year or two ahead. It was kind of like real time or reactive marketing in a way, you know what I mean? Which I'm a big fan of, which is why the Recess Instagram is so popping all the time. So like all those things kind of culminated, and I was like, I thought it'd be cool to start a yo-yo company just because like Yo-Yo Factory plays this part in yo-yoing where it's like the upper echelon, which not everyone wants to be, you know what I mean? I was seeing this divergence, like as working with Yo-Yo Factory, I tried to keep like my finger on the pulse and like try to stay close with like a wide variety of yo-yo players, not just like the upper echelon of players. And I was realizing more and more like people were that like not everyone is going to be like this amazing player, no matter how good everyone is, and like the general level of players getting a lot better, because people are only as good as what they can see. So now like the internet is more widespread and people are learning faster, people are yo-yoing for longer, the equipment is getting better, like the curve, like the difficulty curve is like much lower. So like all these things culminate together and like make it a lot easier to get better yo-yoing. But like at the time, I just saw that happening, and people were caring less and less about competition. And even now, like attendance at contests is like at an all-time low. And I'm not, you know, it's even without the coronavirus thing happening. It's like I've been a contest organizer for going on 10 years now, and it's like I've watched it go from like bubbling, like we're on the East Coast, and like this is a really tight-knit family, and like everyone's going to every event, to being on the West Coast. And it's like super popping, and like yo-yoing isn't going for through a boom, but it's experiencing like a serious growth period, and like really strong contingency on the West Coast, and like people are flying out, and it's dope. And then now it's like all that energy is kind of transferred online in a way, because like people are still buying yo-yos, like yo-yo sales are better than ever, like they're still selling great. And you know, we took kind of a hit after the fidget spinner thing happened. Like you can literally look at the Google Analytics and see like summer 2017, just all the Google searches go down, like, and definitely affected sales for a long time. And you know, we're starting to kind of get back to the level where we were a couple years ago, which is good, but it's just really, it's interestingly killed a lot of things. So yeah, at the time I was really inspired by that. And then skateboarding was also taking a similar approach, where like bigger skaters were quitting their major sponsors because they were able to supplement their income through major shoe sponsorship deals. Like if Nike's paying you 4 or 5 grand a month, like you don't really need to have this girl check where you're making like $1,200 a month plus another 2 grand in royalties. Like you can start your own board company and make 10 grand a month, even if it's a lot harder. So there was a lot of skaters doing that, and you know, it looks easy on paper, or like you kind of look at the Instagram and it's like, damn, like all right, like Alex Olsen starts, he like quits girl and he's like on Nike and starts this cool brand, and like he's making like cool clothing and everyone loves it and it's dope. And but like what you don't see behind the scenes is, like you said earlier, where you know, yo-yoing really teaches you how to do all these things, and now you're doing a podcast. Like you did a podcast for, was it personal training or what was it?
Triathlon coaching.
Personal coaching, right? So it's like that was very niche before, but it's like that kind of inspired you to do a yo-yo podcast.
I mean, it's like you were saying, I mean, Instagram is really great for seeing the highlights of people's lives. And like, I mean, you see it in the triathlon space, people post these like gigantic workout days on there and they're bragging about their hard sessions. And it's like, all right, well, you're not going to post the 3 days that you're down recovering from this workout.
Right.
So.
Dude, I ran 8 miles yesterday and I woke up this morning and my knees were like, I feel like I'm 80 years old. And I went to the skate park afterwards. I'm being an awful quarantine corona person, right?
You just got to keep your 6 feet. That's all you got to do.
That's what I read the CDC report and I was like, you know, like I'm 6 feet away from everyone jogging. Skate park's going to be fine. We'll be good.
Yeah. Yeah. As long as you're 6 feet.
That was.
Yeah. Well, they even said in Italy, like they think that's the next crackdown is you're not going to be allowed to run outside. So they're full blown quarantine. You're still allowed to run. So as of right now, but
yeah. Yeah, one of my friends was posting about like the, what is it called, the Stafford Act?
I don't know.
Everyone's freaking out about it. And it's like, if you read it, it's like basically what's just happening right now. It's like just all non-essential businesses are closing down. Like bigger businesses right now, most of them are closed down that care. Like McDonald's and everyone are staying open, mm-hmm. but like most places are closed down. Anyway, so yeah, I saw skateboarding taking that parallel, and music too, you know what I mean? The biggest thing that inspired studio sessions for Miguel and I was this rapper Lil Wayne, who I hate with a passion. Like, I really dislike his music. I don't hate him as a person or anything. I just really dislike his music. And but he started rapping. He started doing like this mixtape series mm-hmm. and releasing them like every couple months, and he would release them for free. So, like, it didn't matter if he used, like, a beat that someone else owned the intellectual property of, or it didn't matter if, like, someone else, like, took it and then downloaded it and then used it for something else or replayed it somewhere else. Like, it was just going to work as, like, a free promotion for him. And yeah. if people liked his music, they were going to download it anyway. So, once, like, the whole Duncan Yo-Yo Factory 5A legal entanglement happened, Miguel and I were like, oh, like, let's just start making these videos because not everyone is 2010. Not everyone had like an HD camera, like a 1080p mm-hmm. camera yet. So it was like, all right, cool. Like we have this great camera Yo-Yo Factory has. Let's just use it and we'll put out these videos. And like it really created like a crazy amount of momentum and wave that like we would take breaks even of like 5-6 months where like we wouldn't put it like I'd be in a relationship or whatever and like, you know, not be yo-yoing as much or not hanging out with Miguel as much. And then, you know, me and that girl would break up and then I'd be back at his house. Time and like we'd be filming all the time or whatever. So like, but it teaches you like, all right, even if you put out a lot of stuff, like if it's good, people are still going to treat it like it's good. You know what I mean? So, you know, and you see that parallel now with music or whatever art. Like if people put out good art, like people are going to love it. You know what I mean? No matter how frequent it is or infrequent it is, whatever. So. Like, it was a creatively inspiring time for me just because I think I was, like, completely taking off work. The last 2 years I worked at Yo-Yo Factory were my, like, densest periods of time working. Like, I went on month-long tours where I went to, like, Colorado for 3 weeks and Hawaii for 2 weeks and, like, right after my brother died and then, like, right before Danny died and then, like, after that I went on, like, another 2-month-long tour and, like, it was just like, and you cope that way. Like I was going to therapy when I wasn't doing like these crazy long tours. And like, I was just learning a lot about myself. You know what I mean? And it was like, it was good because like bringing younger people out on the road with you, even if like I look at a lot of younger people now and they're so much more intelligent than I am, like book smart, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, it's great. Like I love it. And I can't wait to be older and even stupider than I am now. And more reliant. Like I'm trying to keep up, but it's, you know what I mean,
they just absorb it so quick. Like
yeah, and going out on these trips with kids who like, you know, would be coding in like 3 languages and then on a yo-yo trip with me and just doing that for fun, it's like, oh, this is what I'm gonna do after high school. And I'm like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And or after college. So then like we'd get a flat tire and I'd have to like change the tire or something. Like, how do you know how to do this? I'm like, what do you mean? Like, and it's not like I hate to sound like, you know, a Republican or whatever and be like, everyone needs to know how to change a tire. But it's just like, it was, I remember one time I was with Harold Owens, who was like, he just finished like getting his master's in like chemical engineering. And like now he's a PhD candidate. And like we were on a road trip from like Roseville back to Phoenix, and like the yo-yo factory van broke down. I had to call a tow truck. The tow truck towed us, and like we got there, and like they were closed down. So they were like, "Oh, you got to get this like this part, but we don't have it. So you got to call around because like we're not gonna do it." And I was like, "All right, cool." And I like found it, got it there, and like 2 or 3 days later, back on the road. And Harold was just like, "How did you do all that?" And I was like, "Like, what were we gonna do? Be stuck in Roseville? Like, this is our new home now. Like,
We're never leaving, all right?
yeah, like we're what is that horrible game on the Mac, like early Mac computers?"
Oregon Trail.
Yes, yeah, where you die of dysentery, yeah. So it was just a really creatively inspiring time because like I was able to take that break. And I think what most brands have, like once they're big enough to hire a staff, they're able to flesh out their brand, not just with yo-yo, but with any industry, and they're able to do a lot more. But like once you're smaller, it's a more niche industry. The brands are really focused on like certain aspects of their brand, you know what I mean? And yo-yoing is a highly visual art, not just because of like what you do with a yo-yo, but the way yo-yo looks, like the way people interact with yo-yos. It's generally online, or like even when it's face to face, you're watching someone yo-yo. So it's an interesting medium to work in. Sorry, I'm trying to like verbalize
Yeah,
how
no
all this
worries.
me starting Recess, because even when like I was first starting like thinking of doing Recess, or like it never really occurred in my brain like yo-yo company. Like I said, I had all these ideas. I had like folders and folders of ideas to do clothing with, and like, oh, I want to do like this type of apparel piece with like this artwork on it, or like this inspiration. And like I was talking to like tons of people about it, and like a lot of yo-yo players work in fashion, or you know, a lot of my close friends yo-yo players work in fashion. So like I was just talking to them about that sort of stuff, and like literally within the course of like 2 days, and again, it wasn't even like I thought immediately of yo-yo company. Like I was just driving around to see all my friends, and like they live on the East Coast. It wasn't long drives. It'd be from like here, it'd be from like Delaware to Philly, Maryland to Philly, Maryland to New Jersey or whatever. So it'd be like an hour, like hour and 10 minutes or whatever. And I'd be listening to a ton of music, and like there's a couple songs that my phone doesn't have like a lot of music on it. Like I have Spotify and stuff, but if I just left my my like shuffle play, it's only like 5 or 6 different albums. And a couple of the songs that were rap songs have bars in them about recess, and like one of them's an Isaiah Rashad song, who's like this super socially conscious rapper. Another one is a Meek Mill Big Sean song I freestyled to at Cal States 1 year. They have recess, a bar about recess in it. It was just like this weirdly recurring thing in my head, like, and like again, it wasn't even like Yo-Yo Company at first, because like 2 weeks after I had thought all this through, it was really funny. I was still trying to think of like a name to nail down, because like within the course of me finally like in one day being like, huh, like maybe I should start a yo-yo company. And I was like, oh, like I have all these cool ideas for names, like the Joyride and First Base and Weekend. And I was kind of, it was like not an immature theme, but like youth, or like to keep it like light and spry, you know, which is an awful adjective to describe a yo-yo company. But like I wanted it to be like very like youthful and feel like a punk band, but like with mature aesthetic and like fleshed out roots, not just like super reckless and like all over the place. Yo-yo is very calculated. And like after I had kind of thought of all these things, I was talking to Paul Escalar, and I was like, I can't believe I'm thinking, or I can't believe I thought about this at the time. But like I had a list of names. There weren't many other names. Like Recess was the number one, but I just wasn't, honestly, like I was so against it, Recess at first, because if you yo-yoed in the early 2000s, a pad recess. So I was like, people are just going to think it's like a nerdy yo-yo entendre, and they're not going to like understand that there's a deeper meaning to people treating yo-yo as a recess throughout their lives. So like, I was so worried about that, and I asked everyone that. I must have asked like hundreds of people that, like, what do you think when you first hear recess? And then they'd be like, I don't know. And like a lot of people said the TV show, or like some people would say like Law and Order or something stupid, but like no one said Pad Recess. And then when I mentioned that, they'd be like, that's like the furthest thing from my mind, like with that, because it's so normalized now. But in the midst of trying to figure out a name, I asked Paul Escalar, I was like, what would you think if I called it Cool Guy Yo-Yos? Because it's so lame, it'd be cool. He's like, Tyler, please don't do that. I was like, damn, you're right. I can't believe, like, every few months I'll think about that. And I'll just be like, God, how would that have been? I would have had to change it so fast. Like, so yeah, it was, I know I said this like four times. It was just a very creatively progressive time in my life. Even at that time, like making up a lot of tricks and stuff, I was just yo-yoing a lot to try to like work through all the emotional trauma I was going through. Like, my therapist was back in Phoenix and I was staying at home, because like my grandparents were just in shambles at the time after losing my brother and then losing mom a year later. So I was like, all right, I need to make sure that they're at least okay before I go back home to Phoenix. And then, and like right around that time was when things with Yo-Yo Factory ended, because like, you know, they're doing the budget for 2015 and they're like, can we really afford to pay Tyler another year to make money on the side to not do anything for Yo-Yo, not do anything for Yo-Yo Factory, not be a full-time employee basically. So that, like, you know, had a semi-amicable split, and I was like, all right, cool. So I don't really have to go back anytime soon, you know what I mean? And like, I had savings and like I was okay. And like, funny, and like, it was a super weird time. Like, I had just got done doing literally like a ton of school demos in Phoenix. It was so weird. Like, it was such a weird period of time, like, because like I remember like just booking my flight home to like go home, because like my mom was dying, like she had a seizure and like fell, because she had like stage four lung cancer, and like all tumors were pressing on her brain, and she had a seizure and like passed out in the bathroom. My grandpa called me, and it was like they were in the shits. Like, it was super traumatic for them. It was super traumatic for me too. But like, I was like just so focused on keeping them together and everything straight. So I'm like flying back home, and it was just like after I got done doing like a bunch of school demos, and I left my car parked at my girlfriend at the time's house, but like her and I like were on the outs and like hated each other. No, I didn't even leave it parked at her house. Like, I was driving the Yo-Yo Factory van, like to a school demo, because my the PA system couldn't fit in my car, something weird like that, or I had to carry something I couldn't fit. But I was driving the Yo-Yo Factory van, and I had like my school like pack with like the PA, excuse me, the PE set of yo-yos, and all the money I made from the school. And it was like my mom, this was like right around Christmas break time, so it was like right when all like I finished a bunch of like three or four school demos, collected all the money, like $2,200 or $2,300 in the toolbox in my girlfriend's car, and just didn't tell her though. And like, we're just fighting for a month and a half. And then I totally forgot about it, and I get back home, and I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot about this. Thank God she didn't open this and like assume there was a bunch of yo-yos in there. Like, her face and I opened up the box, and I got back home and took them up from the airport. I was like, oh, thank God. So I was just chilling and like, again, just being like really inspired by skateboarding, music, all these things. And like all that stuff happened really quickly. Like, when I was like, oh, maybe it'd be cool to start a yo-yo company. And I was like, well, if I did that, I'd want to make a plastic yo-yo to be able to sell at schools. And like, oh, like I should make it, and like it'd be funny if it was called the first base, because like, you know, the entendre of like getting to first base with your significant other, and then also like starting out like with, you know, if you get to first base in baseball, that's like the first step. It's like so many entendres and metaphors that it was funny. And like, if you pay attention to like Disney movies or Pixar movies, they always sneak like little shit like that in, kids to see, not kids, for parents to see. So that way they're like, oh, like they know that I'm watching this. It's funny. And like, because it's hilarious because there's tons of kids who get first bases and they have no idea. Oh. And like, teachers will get it, but like they don't know if I know because it's like an old terminology. And then it's also kind of like, it's innocent. It's not like, you know, we live in like a Me Too era, which is rightfully so. Mm-hmm. And I'm very glad that the progress we're making, and we need to make a lot more with toxic masculinity. But like, it's a very like innocent and fun, cheeky thing. You know what I mean? So when teachers read it, they're kind of at first like, is it? Or is it? And then I'll like wink or like give them like the head nod. And they're like, oh, you know, okay.
Yeah.
So, but most yo-yo players get it.
Yeah.
And everyone loves making the joke. It's died down a lot now.
Yeah. Like,
oh, when's second base coming out? When is it going wrong?
Well, even with that, like, I feel like you did such a good job with the branding of it and like the way the actual yo-yo looks that like, man, little kids are gonna have no idea. But
it was great. Like when I had this like crazy elaborate packaging design laid out when I first wanted to make it, and then pricing everything out, I'm like, this is literally gonna be more money than the yo-yo cost to make this box I want, because it had like, it was, I'm really inspired by old Apple packaging. Like, if you look at old Intosh and, like, the first generation iPod packaging, it's, like, a big cube and it cracks open and the accessories, like, your charger and the FireWire, everything's on both sides, and then, like, the iPod's in the middle. It's kind of how it is now, and you pull the iPod out and everything's in the bottom.
Yep.
So it was almost, like, aesthetically nice, and it all goes together. And it's funny, because now, like, the whole, like being eco-friendly, like people are trying to scale back as far as they can on packaging, but I had like mocked up this whole packaging, priced it out, it was super expensive, and then I'm like, all right, well, like, let me go with a way simpler packaging. So I had no idea with what I wanted to do with it, and then Drew Tates, who's like the main artist I work with on a lot of Recess stuff, I was like, here's the like actual CAD for the box, like go crazy. And he just, it was very simple, like he literally 45-50 minutes later sent me like a mock-up, and it was like the rough mock-up, but I was like, you don't think that's weird that it kind of looks like a baseball? And he's like, nah, people like it. And I'm like, all right, cool, like I like it, like he convinced me on it, you know what I mean? But then as soon as I dropped it, like a bunch of our friends who like own businesses, like who that are like amazingly like reviewed businesses, like they were talking to me about just Recess and like how amazing certain things looked, and I was like, wow, like it's really flattering to hear from people who inspire me that like things that I did were cool and visually impressive. So yeah. And that's something that I focus on a lot with the brand. I mean, the first base in itself to me, even more than being a great beginner yo-yo, it's like a t-shirt almost, where like, I know a lot of people don't collect t-shirts now, or it's fashion is such like a high turnover thing where people, because, you know, t-shirts are of a very poor quality now, so people buy things, they wear out, and they get rid of them. But I've always been big into like collecting t-shirts and just like the statement they make, like, you know, being a disenfranchised kid, like you can wear a t-shirt and it has a big middle finger on it, and like it's a very easy sentiment and message to read, or like whatever punk band you like, or like before skateboarding became more of a fashion culture, like you see someone who was wearing a Van shirt or something, and it's like that person skateboards because you have to know where the hell to get that from. Like even if you went into PacSun, like most people weren't just buying it, or if they did, it's like they at least went to the skate park or something if you were like, you know, just subscribing to the fashion part of it. Now it's so blown out, and I'm not saying that in a negative way, but just everyone is everywhere. So yeah, it's, I think, and yo-yos are such a high turnover thing too. There's a great metaphor, a great disgusting metaphor, that in this skateboard documentary where they talk about skateboarding in the early 90s being like a designer tampon, where like the turnover is just so high, where like if you're paying an artist like $1,000 for this board graphic and you're making it for 6 weeks, like, is it really economically feasible to continue this forever? Or like, so it's, yeah, there's levels. And I mean, yeah, for for every company that does tons of designs and comes out with like tons of stuff, it's like the first base hasn't changed in 5 years.
Wow. And
And
it's still, I don't know, anytime you look on like the buy sell trade and somebody's like, what plastic should I get? At least half the people are saying first base.
And it's not because of me like politicking to everyone and
No.
being, this is the best one. And it's like, people do look at the recess feed and they're like, oh, that's great that you work at schools. And obviously kids learn with it and it's a great yo-yo for that reason. But like, it is truly, a great beginner yo-yo. And I think, its legacy precedes it or whatever you'd want to say. Like it's almost its own entity. It's like bigger than recess in a way. But, I doing like the fruit series and like all the collaborations with different artists that I do with them, I think it's so much more than a yo-yo. And, I posted a picture on the Instagram today of a Japanese player who has like, he collects like a lot of pink yo-yos and he has like every pink first base I've ever made. And like, there's not a lot of pink plastic yo-yos made. Like,
No.
it used to be different. Like, in general, there was no pink yo-yos made really. But now, like, people make a lot of pink metal yo-yos. But he had like every pink plastic first base I ever made. And it was really cool to see. But it was also like, someone who's a big fan of a band and collecting all of their t-shirts or all of their merch or like something, it precedes, or I keep using that word, but like it's bigger than yo-yo, you know what I mean? It's like he's a fan of the artwork, he's a fan of what is going on with the first base. Like I said, it's almost its own entity that's like not just recess, because he has other recess yo-yos, but it's not like he has a ton of Komodos or a ton of snacks or anything. He has a ton of first bases. So, and I mean, it was inspired a lot by the Freehand Zero, you know what I mean? Where they had like editions and all their editions were like really beautiful, in my opinion. Like, I don't really know where you can look at an archive of those anymore, but I think all those are really great looking. But yeah, so it was a combination of all those things. And then at the time, this was right before Chinese yo-yo manufacturing really took on the industry, the yo-yo industry is now. Like 2015, it wasn't like all these manufacturers are reaching out to yo-yo companies. I've worked with mainly one shop my whole career, someone I met through Yo-Yo Factory. And they make great yo-yos. There's a lot of other shops now, and I've worked with all of them. Now, when I just did this latest collaboration with Yo-Yo Sam, I've officially worked with made yo-yos with every shop. And
Nice.
like, I mean, I can't say one is better than the other or any of them, or there's gonna be, positives and negatives with all of them. But at the time, this was before, it seems it was an interesting time. Like, even Alibaba, like you could go on Alibaba and get stuff, but it wasn't like now where like the average person almost just kind of like, oh, like I want to get whatever made, like a cool candle, like let me go on Alibaba and I can get 100 of them made for $1 a piece. Like most average consumers are aware of things like this now, so it was just a different time, to say that even for 5 years
Yeah,
ago. So
it's changed so much so quickly.
yeah, and I think, for the better, like it's not like anyone's gonna hate themselves for trying to make a brand, and it's not like a lot of brands are too small to fail, you know what I mean? It's not like anyone's spending $50,000 to launch a yo-yo brand, and then when they don't sell through their first run, they're like, oh my god, I'm gonna lose my house. Like, it's a lot different, so I don't really mind the high turnover, but it's also a very interesting time to be involved with yo-yoing. But it's like this in any industry right now, Skateboarding, there's so many different brands right now. Like, because everyone, it's like we talked about earlier with Instagram, it looks like it's almost easy from the outside perspective looking. And then even players who are on recess don't realize the sheer amount of work some of the stuff takes, you know what I mean? Even so far as when we're actually producing yo-yos and I have to be awake at 2 o'clock in the morning to be talking with the factory to say like, oh, like confirming colors, and they're like, do you like this color? Because all the paperwork I send over, it says right on it like they must confirm with me before they start. So like, it's something I want to do, but it's like, who wants to be up at 2 o'clock in the morning? Like, no, I need it three shades lighter of a pink. Like, the person who English is not their first language. Yeah. And, like, you know, in China, they make amazing yo-yos. And I think with the way that consumerism is blooming there now, like, you've been seeing a lot more, like, Chinese sneaker brands and fashion brands kind of making their way to the Western world and being cooler, and they're paying more attention to, like, the aesthetic design of things and realizing how much that plays a part in things. So I think as those things get cooler, it'll be easier to make things there too, but for the time being, it's like, they're still, like, they don't understand a lot of, like, artistic direction when it comes to certain aspects, so it's like difficult, and it's like a language barrier, you know what I mean?
Because
they're purely looking at some things from a mechanical aspect, so it's like, if you want a yo-yo to look a certain way, and then they get the CAD, and then they might not even ask you to change something, because they're like, oh, it's just going to be quicker to machine it this way, like, they won't mind, and then you look it in the picture and it looks the same, and then you get it and feel it and compare it, and you're like, why is this edge completely different? And they're like, oh, we thought it shaved off 30 seconds and saved 50 cents per half, like, we thought you wouldn't mind. And it's like, I wish you would have asked me though
before. That's crazy.
So it was just a different time in the world. I mean, I would definitely do it again, but it was and again, like, harping back to what Ben said, when I first got a job at Yo-Yo Factory, it was like, you'll learn, even if nothing else, you'll learn, like, everything that goes into running a yo-yo company, and I definitely have, and it's served me well so far. So, but it took, I was, like, really quiet about it at first. I started reaching out to players who I'd potentially be interested in adding to the team, like Michael Curdy, Andrew Mader, Patrick Borgerding. Like, yo-yoing was just in a very peculiar spot too, because people could kind of feel it growing, and like, sponsors were kind of like, it's older people, they understand that things can't last forever when you're on this high, so like, they see the pool rising, and when it starts to get to too big, it's not like, all right, cool, like, let's throw even more resources in, put the pedal to the metal. They're like, all right, maybe we should start to take it a step back now, because if things hit the wall next year, like, we really got to be careful. So it was just a peculiar time in the industry. There were a lot of disgruntled players, me not being one of them, but it was just interesting. So I started reaching out to yo-yo players. I started working on all the designs. I started communicating with the factory. This was like February 2015. Okay. Like, as soon as I did all that, I was like, all right, cool. Like, if I set this timeline for myself, by Worlds in Japan, that'll be a great time to launch, because it'll instantly give me this international market. Everyone that's anyone from Asia will be there. Like, I can instantly get yo-yos in Yo-Yo Rewind, like, Spin Gear, all those stores there. That was, like, right after the yo-yo boom in Japan. So I thought, like, you know, it's going to be a huge world yo-yo contest. Yeah. And it was great. I did amazing sales there. Everyone loved me. It was an amazing contest. So, like, that was February 2015. I started designing everything and working on the artwork and, like, meshing out players and even, like, making videos and stuff. Like, if you pay close enough attention, the first couple of Recess videos I released, I was using, like, the Space Cowboy still. But I just put Recess logos on everything because, like, who the hell can see, you know what I mean? But it was, like, March 2015, April 2015, I'm like, all right, cool, I'm going to start banking content now so that when I launch Recess, I just have, like, 2 months of shit ready to go. I just, like, coming, like, over and over again with, like, videos and everything, and, like, once I start getting prototypes in and finalizing everything, like, it'll all mesh together, you know what I mean? And there was times at Yo-Yo Factory where our content output was so high, I was just realizing that it was almost like we were more like a creative marketing agency than we were a yo-yo company, just because, like, the necessary things it took to sell a yo-yo, or, like, the necessary things it takes to run a business where you're selling a product, and the marketing is such a dependent part of that, that, you know, that's why I focus so much on the Recess artwork, why the videos, have this interesting feel why we do tours. Sorry,
well, that even comes down to, like, in the when I talked to Andre, he said, like, yo-yos, they play relatively similar along the same price range, but you're buying it, like, based on the story of the yo-yo. And he said a lot of times that sells the yo-yo over actually how it plays. And, like, I don't know if there's anybody really doing a better job than you guys with that side of stuff right now. So.
Yeah, boomers hate when I say that about yo-yo. They're like, what makes your yo-yo different than everyone else's yo-yo? And I'm like, yo-yos are kind of like cars. Like, they just use junk science to sell them, and they're all basically the same. And they're like, that's not true. Like, the Toyota's different from this car, from that car. And I'm like, no, the person that buys the Toyota is different from the person that buys the Subaru, yeah, from the person that buys the Dodge.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, it really
just
is.
Just the difference from, like, you know, a person who's a cognizant consumer and someone who's just, like, being marketed to, you know?
Yeah.
And, it's, you know, just like I was saying earlier, I was a cognizant consumer being 7 years old asking my parents how this shit works. So... yeah, I mean, so I was just aware that I needed to have that ball rolling, and it was fun. Like, I didn't tell anyone anything, like, other than players, and, like, it started to, like, leak around to people, but, like, Andre had no idea. Like, I remember I was going to launch on my birthday. I had, like, so many, I took, like, so many notes out of Ben's book, Yo-Yo Factory Ben,
yeah,
where, like, it was like, all right, cool, I'm going to launch on my birthday. Because, like, 1,000 people are going to comment on my Facebook wall, and if I make a status, like, I'm launching a yo-yo brand today, everyone's going to follow. Yeah. Everyone hit 1,000 followers in, like, 2 hours. So it was, like,
nice.
It was all perfect, yeah. And then, like, I released a video a week for, like, 2 months leading up the Worlds or something like that. And it was, like, all videos of me. So it was, like, it's crazy to look back at how the content wheel and yo-yoing has kind of devolved, because, like, when Recess first launched, like, I was getting 1,000 views on a video in a day, and, like, within a year everything would have, like, 8,000, 9,000, 10,000 views. Yeah. And, like, now, like, I had the tutorial video I did in July with the binds, that one hit 10,000 views just because it's, like, a bind video. But otherwise, like, if it's just a trick video, you'll be lucky to hit 1,000.
And
views.
I think,
like,
it, kind of, I think it comes down to there's just so much content put out much, all, yeah, the time. Yeah. Like, I mean, you scroll through Instagram for 15 minutes and you see 30 new trick videos you've never seen before. So,
and you get you're like, why would I watch a full length after, yeah, I've watched 30 samples of the same, you know, the best stuff?
Like, yeah. Well, and, like, I mean, our attention spans is, it's so short. Like, the only reason this podcast works is because people got to drive places and you can't text while you drive. Like,
yeah, that was the one thing about the goods. Like, my computer takes like 20 hours to export an episode just because the video files are so long. But it was hilarious hearing people being like, I want it longer. And I'm like, are you crazy?
You're like,
it's
an hour and a half.
Hours long.
Yeah, and it's always just a little bit longer. Like, you hear people, they're like, yeah, maybe you could go. Like, our episodes are typically, like, 35, 45 minutes. We're like, make it 50. And it's like,
yeah.
And you're just going to ask for an hour.
People with the loud voices are, like, your smallest demographic. They'll be the person that's like, oh, I'm an artisan stonemason or something. Revitalizing a church in Atlanta right now. I need the longest podcast possible. You're like, what are you talking about?
It's funny, though. I drive a lot for work. My commute's, like, an hour and a half, and, yeah, I'm the same way, though. Like, my favorite podcast, I'm like, you guys need to put an episode out every day. That would be great.
Yeah, I don't know how certain podcasts do it when their output is, like, 2 or 3 a week, and it's, like, you're just isolating so much, and, especially, like, H3, where, like, their content is predominantly watching other people's content and then reviewing it. It's, like, it's funny, but it's, like, who are you? And it's, like... your personalities are great, so, like, yeah, you guys got a show, but it's like, is this really a show? And it's like, you're just watching shit, and then, like, it's another version of Tosh.0. Like, we've seen this, yeah, again and again and again.
Yep.
I don't know. So, yeah, and again, just, I saw so many yo-yo companies, like, Dunkin' is kind of, like, you know, not to parallel it to, like, car brands or whatever, but just like we were saying, how, you know, stereotypically, like, the liberal, like, hippie guy is gonna buy a Subaru for whatever reason, or a Prius, and then, like, some, like, super broed out, like, car salesman guy is going to buy like the F Ford 350 or whatever.
Yeah,
You know what I
yep.
mean? Just that those are all stereotypical things. But like I looked at yo-yos and it just was missing. I don't want to say recess, but like that more of like a carefree attitude and like people not only take it so serious and still do, but like frame it so serious. You know what I mean? And I don't know, like I'm horrible at writing copy, like writing the descriptions for things when it comes to like the yo-yo. Like we, CJ and I, the guy who designs a lot of recess yo-yo, CJ Atkinson, we must have put like 55, 60 design hours into the quiz. And like it's via text, so like a lot of it is going back and forth, or like when I was going over to his house for a couple of days here and there, it'd be like, you know, long design periods, but it was like just perfecting and fine tuning every single little part and playing with other steel yo-yos and comparing contrasting dimensions, and like it's just so thorough and in the thick of it. And yeah, like I'm just bad, like I can't writing the copy for that. It's like it was easy because we put so much time into it, and because all the little adjectives to describe it, I was thinking about those things when we were designing it. But like if you just had an idea for the first, like for the first base, it's like I could say a bunch of stuff about it, but it's like it's just a great yo-yo. It's, you know what I mean, it's what is like it's an organic yo-yo. Like it's funny because the first like the first butterfly shapes for Duncan, like, you know, not verbatim, but it's like they just took an imperial and flipped it inside out, you know what I mean? So it's like there wasn't a whole lot of engineering thought put into it, but like it just plays well. And like, you know, there was a lot of engineering thought put into the first base, but it's just, it's again, like yo-yos are hard to really make seem better than they are, you know what I mean? So I've always been a big proponent of like letting the product speak for itself, but also like I know it's people like Nike because like Nike looks cool, like Nike sounds cool, like their campaigns are cool, the marketing is cool, but more so like what people do in Nikes is cool.
Yes.
You watch LeBron James play basketball and he looks cool and he's wearing Nikes. Like you watch Nigel Houston 5-0 a 20 stair handrail and he looks cool and he is wearing Nikes. And it's like that's really the shit that puts not only your brand above and beyond, but like people's emotional draw to your brand. Like it's so much, it's what creates, you know what I mean? It doesn't have to be these athletic feats that I just named. Like there's a lot of Nike stuff that goes down that is, you know, just heartfelt. And you know, that's what Nike's leaning on now is like the more average athlete or like everyone making sports to everyone. And I don't know, when I first started Recess, that was my biggest pitch to people is like not how many people play football, baseball, soccer, spend tens of thousands of dollars on their kids to do this stuff, and the only one tippy top 1% is going to make it onto these professional levels or even play D-League or farmer team, whatever. And yo-yoing is the same way, where it's like everyone and their brother is sponsored now, but it's like you got to be in a very particular set to be in that top three, and it's like sometimes it's about the skill, but like a lot of times too it's about the campaign. And it's like, you know, not just being at the contest and like, you know, talking to the judges and dumb stuff like that, but it's like being on people's minds, like the tricks you're doing and like how they're comparing to other people's. Like there's a ton of mid-range players that when you look at the top 10 of any contest, they're within a 3-point spread of one another, but this guy's wearing basketball shorts and a random t-shirt. And even though this other guy's just wearing like an SF Yo-Yos t-shirt and like a cool pair of sneakers, like he still just looks cooler than this other guy. So it's like a very, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's base level marketing. And but
well, and even like with that, with the yo-yo player, like if you're decked out, there's a confidence with that. Like it never got it like when you were in middle school where they made you wear a shirt and tie for your presentations, and now as an adult, I totally get it. But it's the same thing. You just stand a little bit taller. You have a little bit more, like, presence to you.
Yeah. And, yeah, it's a great for your self-esteem as well. And, like, it's crazy when people, when they come to the realization of how much of marketing comes down to perception. And I feel like Recess definitely breaks that mold. Because if you were to just look at Recess from the inside out, it's kind of like, messy, but like controlled. It's raw, not messy. It's just raw, and it's like a ball of energy, and it's like focused and directional, but it's not like this polished, like perfect. It's relatable, you know what I mean? There's a lot of different adjectives you could use, but it's just much different than every other yo-yo brand, and it's everyone can look at it and relate to it. Everyone can look at it and be inspired by it. Like, even if you don't like Recess, you probably like something we make, or like the way something we look make, or like the way we make something looks, or
Yeah, I mean the thing that I really like about your branding is like it. I feel like personally, like it takes me back to my childhood, even though Recess wasn't there during my childhood because I'm the same age as you. But like you look at this stuff, and I automatically think back to the playground, and I'm like, that would be a cool yo-yo to show my friends, and everybody would get it. Like, there's just something about the branding that's just so like pure and just kind of falls in line with that. And it's like that across every single yo-yo you guys make.
Thank you, man. Yeah, and I try to make it also go to our merchandise, like all the apparel we make, which a lot of yo-yo companies don't really. I mean, and I understand because it's funny. I was about to make a really long post today because someone was commenting on the BST about merch, yo-yo merch, and like what, like who buys what yo-yo merch and what yo-yo merch they should make. And everyone was like, I only buy merch if it supports this or does that. And it's like people who literally have cases of thousands of dollars of yo-yos. But if you were to try to sell this person like a $25 t-shirt, be like, $25 for a t-shirt. Like, I can go to Target and get one for 12. And it's like, well, yeah, but it's not made in the USA. It wasn't printed in the USA. Like, it wasn't hand printed by a guy 10 blocks down from me. Like, it was, like, there's so many levels to these things. I love old American Apparel tags, even though their CEO is a crazy douchebag. Old tags used to say, like, this shirt was hand sewn by seven people who are paid a living wage and have access to living, or have had access to health benefits and live in downtown Los Angeles. And it's just like,
That's
wow,
cool.
like that's amazing. Like, so yeah, there's levels to everything. And yeah, I don't know. It's Yeah, I get inspired a lot by like band merchandise, which also kind of has like a immature feeling to it, because I feel like all, even though I don't listen to like a lot of traditional rock and roll music anymore, I mean, like I have a super eclectic taste, like everyone has in music now, like just older band merch that kind of harps on like it's colorful, it's fun, it's playful, but it can be serious too. And like there's this great meld when you have something that like strikes you internally and makes you feel something but looks a different way. Like, I don't know if you got a chance to look at that dinosaur thing I posted on Instagram yet, but it's like a new First Space series I'm working on, and it's like dinosaurs are like a really, I got the idea from like this random kid who's been bothering me to make dinosaur first bases for like 2 years, and I'm like, this is actually a really good idea. And I have like friend who like is a great artist who would like knock this out of the park, and like I just gotta like mesh this out enough, and like thought about it for a long time, and like finally got around to doing it with the artist friend. But like he's like, again, his art style is so perfect where it's like raw, but like, you know, doing it and transferring it to a computer, he cleans it up enough so it's like clean, but it just has this perfect amount of hand-drawn aesthetic to it where you can, it's not like this cheesy current aesthetic that everyone has where like it's just super clean lines and like it just looks like REI camping equipment or something. I hate it. But like it's like old Tumblr aesthetic. I don't know how to explain
But
it.
then what's cool, like with the dinosaurs, is I feel like that comes back to that original branding, like that we talked about. Like, when you're a kid, what's cooler than dinosaurs? There's
Right,
nothing.
exactly. Who doesn't love dinosaurs? Yeah. It's the same thing with fruit. It's like I, not everyone eats super healthy, but it's like fruit is a very pleasing thing to look at. There's a reason, like in art school, everyone sketches a bowl of fruit. Like, there's a re like, and it's funny because like the first fruit series came out summer 2016. We did another one summer 2017, and now like so many of my favorite brands have done like a super dope fruit graphic. And like every time I'll send it to Drew, who did the fruit series with me, and like I art directed it for all intents and purposes, and then he's like, you know, putting it all together. But like, it's so crazy to look at because it like really shadows. It's not like any of these brands are inspired by Recess at all, but it's just like for us to be like that much on the pulse of something that like, and it's not like Fruit is on brand right now, but for like a bigger brands that are coming out with those similar graphics, then like they are on the cutting edge of that sort of stuff. And I look at them and I'm inspired by them, by things for them to make something 2 years later than I made 2-3 years ago. I'm like, wow, this is really awesome. Like, so yeah, I have like other, I have ideas for days. It's crazy when I, like a couple of stores that I've worked with, I've included them like on my Google Drive folder of artwork, and they're just like, you're sitting this much stuff. And I'm like, yeah, like it's expensive to make. Yeah. Like, it's not doing a first base series. Like, it instantly adds like a couple $1,000s to the run just because you have to make new stamps for every single yo-yo. It's not like the first base, like when it just has the regular stamp on it. Like, I made one of those 5 years ago and it's been the same ever since, you know what I mean? But it costs money to do it every single time to make new stamps. And then like, it's only incremental, like, to do layers of artwork on every yo-yo, but like times 3, 4, 5,000 pieces, it's like, it adds up, you know what I mean? It's only 10-11 cents a yo-yo, but that adds up really quickly.
Man, that's crazy.
So yeah, I don't know. I think that's something that definitely separates us from other yo-yo companies, and you know, it continues to separate us. And I see a lot of other brands like try to make appeals to, this is going to sound like a diss, and again, I'm a hater. Like, I see other brands try to do things like Recess does, and it doesn't work because it's not their genuine intention. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, Recess is just an extension of me. It's hilarious because people, when they message the Recess account, just kind of assume it's me. Mm-hmm. And then when they say, I've screenshotted like 20 in the last week, because people, I'll be like chatting with people for like hours, like not like an AIM chat, but just like here and there, they'll comment on my story and then I'll comment back. And then they'll be like, is this Tyler? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, that's so crazy. Like, I'm such a, I didn't know you ran this account. That's so dope. But it's literally an extension of me. Yeah. And so when people are a fan of me, they're automatically a fan of Recess. And like, I'm just a fan of pop culture in general. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, not to sound conceited, but like, there was a reason that like I was a popular yo-yo player, and like, mm-hmm. there's a reason people like the things I make and liked my freestyles and were like, oh, that song is dope, like I'm gonna use that for something else, or like why people get put onto music from my freestyles. And it's not because I'm like this ultimately cool guy. Like, I just like everything. I like trying to absorb as much culture as possible, and like, not trying to put people onto anything, but just like, you know, telling people that I'm into these things. And then, because that's how I got into them, you know what I mean? It's through their people or through other people putting me onto them. And it's not like some hipster douchebag that was like, yeah, this super tight band, like, go listen to them. I was like at a bar and heard them, and then asked the person next to me or asked the DJ, like, yo, this is tight, like, what is this? And then they tell me, and like, that person's cool to me now. And it's a whole like reciprocal cycle within yo-yoing that, you know, it's because I love it that I am where I am. And, you know, because I put in so much work that I get to reap the benefits I do, you know. But, yeah, it's interesting. Because I talk with a lot of yo-yo players, and they know how genuine an extension Recess is of me. And they know, like, yo-yoing for a lot of people is like almost an alternative personality. Like, you'll kind of notice like a lot of yo-yo players don't want to intermingle friend groups, or like a lot of people will be like, my one friend group doesn't like when I yo-yo, or doesn't like yo-yoing, or thinks it's whack or weird. And it's like, it's this weird dichotomy where like people don't want to mix this stuff. Like, then, you know, it's another reason psychologically why people buy the yo-yo colors they do. Like, you're afraid to wear a fucking t-shirt that looks like Eddie Van Halen's guitar, but you'll buy a yo-yo that looks like it. So it's like, it's people's internal personalities kind of coming out, And that's another reason why people like recess, is because not that we do things people are afraid to do, but it's like, you know, people get into this cyclical thing in their regular life, and recess is kind of like a break and alternative to that. But like, that's why it doesn't work for other brands when they try to do things mm-hmm. like that, is because it's kind of like they're faking the funk in a way. And I don't know. It sucks because there's room for other brands like recess, but like, it's hard because yo-yo players aren't really, it's not like I'm a uniquely fun guy, or like I'm like, I add a sauce or whatever you want to say, but it's like recess is a team effort. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, if you look at the recess story, it's like I repost stuff all day that is inspiring to me and I think is cool, and like from the music or people that I'm friends with, and it's like a whole thing. Like, I would never like really claim recess as my own. Like, I always say, whenever I talk about recess stuff, it's always we, even though mm-hmm. it's like a proprietor LLC. It's like, I'm always a we, or like, this is how we're moving, because it's like, that was probably like, honestly, it was funny because the girl I was dating at the time, like, her and I were arguing this one day, but like, when the recess account surpassed the amount, and it was quick too, it was like 5 or 6 months, surpassed the amount of followers I had on Instagram, like my personal account, yeah. I was like, wow, like, recess is like its own thing now, like, this is dope. And like, she didn't really get it, or like didn't care, and I was just like, no, this is like a big deal, because it's like, more people like this now than they like me, which is like a cool, you know what
you've,
I mean?
You've
it's
created like, something that's out there on its own, that's doing its own thing, even though you're behind the scenes pulling the strings. Yeah, that's gotta be a cool
thing.
And feeling.
I know that seems like very vain to like look at Instagram followers and stuff, but it's just, it's a yo-yo metric, you know what I mean? It's like, so, but yeah, I don't know. I love it.
Cool. Well, I've chatted here for about an hour and a half. I think that's a...
Feel free to cut out.
No worries. I think that's a good point to close the interview out. So before we get going, where can people follow you on Instagram, buy your yo-yos, all that good stuff?
Yeah, check us out on Instagram at recess intl, just intl, like the abbreviation for international. Same thing with YouTube, recess intl. I just started a TikTok. I haven't posted on it yet, but that was my one quarantine move. Started TikTok. I didn't do it even during quarantine. I think I started it like 2 weeks ago. Some random yo-yo guy came in. it was a preemptive quarantine move. Check us out at recessintl.com. By the time this drops, everything that I'm about to upload, like 50 things in the store tonight, but it'll all be gone super quick. So. Good thing.
Cool.
Trying to think. Yeah, that's it. What else?
All right.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your time, man. I appreciate it.
No, man. I really appreciate it, too. Thank you so much, and thank you for running this podcast. It's awesome.
Welcome.
I know a lot of people really dig it. Cool.